Penguin Audio presents Collapse by Jared Diamond, read by Christopher Murney. A few summers ago, I visited two dairy farms, Hull's Farm and Garter Farm, which, despite being located thousands of miles apart, were still remarkably similar in their strengths and vulnerabilities. Both were by far the largest, most prosperous, most technologically advanced farms in their respective districts. In particular, each was centered around a state-of-the-art barn for sheltering and milking cows. Both farms let their cows graze outdoors in lush pastures during the summer, produce their own hay for feeding the cows through the winter, and increase their production of hay by irrigating their fields. The two farms were similar in area, a few square miles, and in barn size, Hull's barn holding somewhat more cows than Garter barn, 200 versus 165 cows respectively. Both farms were located in gorgeous natural settings that attract tourists from afar, with backdrops of high snow-capped mountains drained by streams teeming with fish. Those were the shared strengths of the two farms. As for their shared vulnerabilities, both lay in districts economically marginal for dairying, because their high northern latitudes meant a short summer growing season in which to produce pasture grass and hay. Because the climate was suboptimal compared to dairy farms at lower latitudes, both farms were susceptible to being harmed by climate change. Both districts lay far from population centers to which they could market their products, so that transportation costs and hazards placed them at a competitive disadvantage compared to more centrally located districts. The economies of both farms were hostage to forces beyond their owners' control, such as the changing affluence and tastes of their customers and neighbors. On a larger scale, the economies of the countries in which both farms lay rose and fell with the waxing and waning of threats from distant enemy societies. The biggest difference between Hull's Farm and Garter Farm is in their current status. Hull's Farm, a family enterprise in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, is currently prospering. But Garter Farm, the former manor farm of the Norse Bishop of southwestern Greenland, was abandoned over 500 years ago. Greenland Norse society collapsed completely. Its thousands of inhabitants starved to death, were killed in civil unrest, or in war against an enemy, or emigrated, until nobody remained alive. Yet when Garter Farm and Norse Greenland were at their peak, their decline seemed as inconceivable as does the decline of Hull's Farm and the U.S. today. In drawing these parallels between Hull's and Garter Farms, I'm not claiming that Hull's Farm and American society are doomed to decline. Instead, my trips to Hull's and Garter Farms during the same summer vividly brought home to me the conclusion that even the richest, technologically most advanced societies today face growing environmental and economic problems that should not be underestimated. Many of our problems are broadly similar to those that undermine Garter Farm and Norse Greenland, and that many other past societies also struggle to solve. Norse Greenland is just one of many past societies that collapsed or vanished. By collapse, I mean a drastic decrease in human population size and/or political, economic, social complexity over a considerable area for an extended time. How could a society that was once mighty end up collapsing? What were the fates of its individual citizens? Did they move away, or did they die there in some unpleasant way? Lurking behind this romantic mystery is the nagging thought, might such a fate eventually befall our own wealthy society? Will tourists someday stare mystified at the rusting hulks of New York skyscrapers, much as we stare today at the jungle-overgrown ruins of Maya cities? It has long been suspected that many of those mysterious abandonments were at least partly triggered by ecological problems, people inadvertently destroying the environmental resources on which their societies depended. This suspicion has been confirmed by discoveries made in recent decades by archaeologists, climatologists, historians, paleontologists, and palynologists, pollen scientists. The processes through which past societies have undermined themselves by damaging their environments fall into eight categories, whose relative importance differs from case to case. Deforestation and habitat destruction, soil problems, water management problems, overhunting, overfishing, effects of introduced species on native species, human population growth, and increased per capita impact of people. The risk of such collapses today is now a matter of increasing concern. Indeed, collapses have already materialized for Somalia, Rwanda, and some other third world countries. The environmental problems facing us today include the same 8 that undermine past societies, plus 4 new ones: human-caused climate change, buildup of toxic chemicals in the environment, energy shortages, and full human utilization of the Earth's photosynthetic capacity. Most of these 12 threats will become globally critical within the next few decades. Either we solve the problems by then, or the problems will undermine not just Somalia, but also first world societies. Much more likely than a doomsday scenario involving human extinction or an apocalyptic collapse of industrial civilization would be a future of significantly lower living standards, chronically higher risks, and the undermining of what we now consider some of our key values. If this reasoning is correct, then our efforts today will determine the state of the world in which the current generation of children and young adults lives out their middle and late years. But the seriousness of these current environmental problems is vigorously debated. Are the risks greatly exaggerated, or are they underestimated? Does it stand to reason that today's human population of almost 7 billion, with our potent modern technology, is causing our environment to crumble globally at a much more rapid rate than a mere few million people with stone and wooden tools already made it crumble locally in the past? Will modern technology solve our problems, or is it creating new problems faster than it solves old ones? Isn't the rate of human population growth declining such that we're already on course for the world's population to level off at some manageable number of people? These questions illustrate why those famous collapses of past civilizations have taken on more meaning than just that of a romantic mystery. Perhaps there are some practical lessons that we could learn. What exactly were the processes by which past societies committed ecocide? Why did some past societies fail to see the messes that they were getting into? Which were the solutions that succeeded in the past? If we could answer these questions, we might be able to identify which societies are now most at risk, and what measures could best help them, without waiting for more Somalia-like collapses.